Okay, so we're diving into Ezra today,
Yeah.
but not the, Sunday school version. We're
Right.
going to be looking at it through a historian's
Yeah,
lens.
that's a very different way to look at it.
And this is going to be interesting, I think.
Yeah, it should be
Yeah,
fun.
so Ezra, it's about these Jewish exiles who get to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple.
Right, yeah.
On the surface, very inspiring.
She seems like it, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
but historically accurate.
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah.
That's what we're gonna look at.
Big question mark.
Yeah.
So let's see what our historian friend has to say about all this.
Okay, let's jump in.
So first of all, we've got this Cyrus the Great, right?
Yeah.
This Persian king who's supposed to be like this super benevolent dude.
Yeah, he's really painted in a positive light.
He just lets the Jews go.
Yeah, just like that.
Really?
Well, our historian is a little skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem a little too good to be true.
It
It's
does.
like, come
You
on,
have to
bro.
wonder what's really going on there.
Yeah, what's the catch? So
Exactly.
historically, how common was this kind of generosity?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's not unheard of, but it's definitely not the norm,
Right.
especially for a conqueror like Cyrus.
Right, he's got an empire to run.
Exactly.
He's not exactly known for being a pushover.
No, not really.
So what do you think his motivations might have been?
Well, think about it from his perspective. He's trying to consolidate his power.
Right, make sure everybody stays in line.
Exactly. And a stable Jerusalem with people loyal to him,
Yeah.
that could be a really valuable asset.
Especially if they're grateful to him for letting them go back.
Exactly. He's creating a buffer state.
Interesting.
It's all about strategy.
Yeah, and like using different groups to balance each other out, keep
Exactly.
everybody in check.
Yeah, he did similar things in other parts of his empire too.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, like when he allied with the Greek city-states
Okay.
to help him take down the Lydian Empire.
Right. Divide and conquer.
That's the idea.
That's fascinating.
So yeah, Cyrus was a smart guy.
Yeah, he was playing the long game.
Definitely.
But then wouldn't a strong Jewish community in Jerusalem with their own, religion and culture,
Right.
wouldn't that also be a potential threat to Persian authority down the line?
That's a really good point, and it's something that historians still debate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible that Cyrus thought he could manage that threat.
Right. Keep them under control.
Or maybe he just thought that the benefits of having a stable Jerusalem outweighed the risks.
Right.
It's a gamble either way.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about like what was going on in his head
It is.
and how these decisions played out.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on.
Okay.
There's this whole intermarriage controversy in Ezra.
Right.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a really interesting part of the book.
Yeah, so Ezra gets back to Jerusalem and he finds out that some of the Jewish men have married women from all these surrounding nations.
Right.
And he just completely freaks out.
Yeah, he's not happy about it at all.
He's like, you got to divorce your wives.
It's pretty extreme.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It is.
Can you believe that?
I mean, from a modern perspective, it's really hard to wrap your head around,
Right?
but we have to try to understand it in the context of the time.
Yeah, like what was marriage like back then?
Well, it was a very different thing than it is today.
Right.
It wasn't just about love and personal choice.
Right.
It was often about politics and land ownership
Hey.
and preserving your cultural and religious identity.
So Ezra wasn't just being a control freak.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say for sure,
Right.
but his concern was probably more about the survival of the Jewish people than about controlling individuals.
Makes sense.
He was afraid that intermarriage would lead to assimilation.
Right, they would lose their identity.
Exactly, and that was a huge threat.
Especially after they had just come back from exile.
Yeah, they had fought so hard to maintain their traditions, and
Right.
he didn't want to see that all disappear.
So it's like a cultural preservation thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
Okay, that's a really helpful way to look at it.
glad it helps.
It still seems pretty extreme, but at least I can kind of understand where he's coming from.
Right. It's important to understand the historical context,
Yeah.
even if we don't agree with the actions.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now for the timeline stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is where things get really interesting.
It does make you question the historical accuracy.
Right. Our historian friend is basically saying that Ezra might not be telling the story in the exact right order.
Yeah, he's not saying that the events didn't happen,
Right.
just that the timeline might be a little off.
Okay, so what are some examples of that?
Well, there's one part where Ezra talks about this group of exiles arriving
Okay.
before the temple walls are rebuilt.
Okay.
But then we have archaeological evidence and records from neighboring kingdoms that suggest that the walls were actually already in place.
Before that group showed up,
yeah,
that's a pretty big discrepancy.
It is.
So what does that mean for the author's purpose? That's a great question.
Is it more of a theological work than a historical record?
Yeah, some scholars believe that Ezra might have arranged the events to emphasize certain theological points.
Makes sense.
It's like those movies that are based on a true story, but they take some liberties with the facts.
To make it a better story.
Exactly.
Okay, so last thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
This whole divine intervention thing. It's like every good thing that happens in Ezra is because of God.
Right. God is directly intervening all the time.
Yeah. It does seem a little convenient.
Yeah. Our historian definitely has some thoughts about that.
Like what?
Well, I mean, he's coming from a more secular perspective.
Right.
So he's naturally going to question the idea that God is micromanaging everything.
Okay. So what's his take?
Well, he basically says that attributing everything to divine intervention ignores the role of humans. Like people make choices and those choices have consequences.
Right.
And historical circumstances play a role, too. It's not all just God pulling the strings.
Okay, so how do we reconcile that with the spiritual message of the book?
That's the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, can we appreciate the faith of the people who rebuilt the temple?
Right.
While also acknowledging that they weren't just passive puppets.
Right, they were active participants.
Exactly.
It's like finding that balance between history and faith.
Exactly.
It's not always easy.
No, but it's important.
Well, this has been a really interesting conversation.
It has.
I think we've just scratched the surface.
Yeah, there's so much more to explore.
But hopefully it's given our listeners a new way to think about Ezra.
I hope so.
And to kind of wrap things up,
okay.
I'm going to leave you with a final thought.
All right.
Imagine you're an archaeologist digging in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And you're finding all these artifacts from the time of Ezra.
Yeah.
What kind of evidence would you need to find to be convinced that the events in the book actually happen the way they're described?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And what kind of discrepancies or inconsistencies would make you question the biblical account?
That's something to think about.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
It is.
But I think it's a worthwhile one.
I agree.
Thanks for joining us on this journey into Ezra.
It's been a pleasure.
See you next time.
Bye.